Right. Before we meet our next guest, so we're going to be talking about tattoos and this story. This woman, I saw the post. It was on the Village, the parenting Facebook page, The Village, of this woman whose niece had been visiting from the UK and went out one day and came back with a tattoo at the age of 17. And not only that, but the tattoo was on her face. much consternation all round, as you can imagine. But everyone seems to have a funny tattoo story. Well, I say that might be an exaggeration, but people do, don't they? And mine is this. My late brother went to get a tattoo. Now, at the age of 17. Now, in the UK, there are various laws that govern what you are and are not allowed to do when it comes to tattooing people under the age of 18. My brother looked older than 17, it should be said. But still, I mean, he didn't, you know. He decided one day he was going to go and get himself a tattoo. But what he hadn't thought through was that the tattoo parlour he wanted to go to was in direct, as the crow flies, probably about 10 metres away from where my mother worked. So there's my mum happily sitting in her office one day, looks out of the window and sees on the street below my 17-year-old underage brother walking into a tattoo parlour. And a couple of hours later, walking out. So he gets home that night. She says, oh, what did you do today? What did you get up to? No, nothing, Mum, nothing. No. Didn't change anything about yourself? No, no, no. Adam, I saw you. I saw you walking into the tattoo parlour. And at that point, I mean, come on. Why would you do, of all the tattoo joints in the world, you had to walk into that one. I mean, why would you do that? And he had to peel up his sleeve and reveal that he had had a not unsubstantial Black Panther and small and I know, and small devil holding a pitchfork tattooed, one on his forearm, one on his back. Oh dear, the things we do. Anywho, so here's the story. As I said, this woman, Natasha, her name was horrified that while here on holiday from the UK, her underage niece, 17, had been convinced by a tattoo artist to not only get a tattoo, but to get one on her face. Natasha Wells van der Merwe shared the story on The Village and joined Zane Johnson in for Pippa to explain what happened. Let's take a listen.
Did she tell the artist that she was just 17?
Wendy, yes, she did. She told him, apparently she told him twice that she was 17. And he continued anyway, saying that it was absolutely okay. And she was supposed to fill in a consent form, which, of course, would disclose that she's 17 and that would stop her from getting the tattoo without her parents' permission. But he told her to laugh it off. Allegedly, I probably should add, but I'm 100% sure of that.
Okay, but there was an issue of an ID book. Tell us about that.
Okay,
or an ID card or
in order, I don't think that the tattoo parlour was actually at fault here. They had checks and balances in place. Well, they are to a degree, but they had checks and balances in place to stop youngsters getting a tattoo. So I have gone to speak to them. And their checks and balances, they have this form which needs to be filled in. And in order to continue, if you're under the age of 18 and your ID reflects that, you cannot come in for the tattoo without both your parents present. However, when she got to that point, she said, I'm under 18. It won't let me continue. So he said, don't worry about it. Just leave the ID out.
All right, so that is just a brief summary. And if you want to hear the whole conversation, the whole podcast from Pippa's show on Wednesday or Thursday, you can go to the website and download it. It was done as part of Consumer Talk with, as you heard there, Wendy Nola. So as Natasha was saying, essentially she's been to speak to the tattoo parlour The owner, who she said was very, very helpful, the tattoo artist, she said not so much so. But it appeared that he was new and perhaps wasn't aware of the rules regarding underage and tattooing on the face. And there was apparently the tattoo parlor in question does have quite a strict policy around getting people who get tattoos on the face. They have to have already got visible tattoos and all that kind of thing. Anywho, that's just an example. We wanted to kind of speak to a tattoo artist to find out about their experiences and a little bit more in detail about the policies around tattooing, and particularly tattooing underage people and tattoos to the face. So we welcome qualified tattoo artist, co-owner of Body Architects Tattoo Studio in Harfield Village, Byron Barker, to the show. Byron, hello.
Hey, Sarah Jane, how are you doing?
I am absolutely superb. Listen, I don't want you to get into a whole thing about, you know, for this conversation, we're not going to name the tattoo parlor. They did on Thursday. That was that show. I want to kind of move on from that because that was just one experience. But would you tattoo somebody under the age of 18?
So my studio has like a very strict policy on not tattooing under 18s. There is no actual legislation in South Africa, no real laws that say you can't tattoo anyone under 18. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's no legislation whatsoever. Like in the UK and in the States, you know, artists will have to do like bloodborne pathogens courses to prove that they can, you know, work without having cross-contamination. And they'll get checked for biohazardous waste containers and sharps containers for the needles to make sure that they're disposed of properly. And there's a whole bunch more stuff that we don't have to get into that they have to do. But here in South Africa, there's none of that. So the pedigree studios, the ones that are good, kind of follow suit of the UK and of the States, but only on their own accord. They decide to because they're like, hey, this is, you know, what we think that, you know, the tattoo world should be doing.
Got it.
So we just kind of go along with that. So my studio does not do under 18s.
I mean, would it be sort of frowned upon in the industry, in the circles that you move within the tattooing fraternity? Presumably, you know of places that probably do that. Do they get sort of looked down on a little bit by others who tend to follow a more conservative approach?
Definitely. I think like because professional tattooing is still pretty new in South Africa, I think it's only like two generations old.
Sure.
You do get quite a big divide. There's a lot of tattooers, and then you get like your pedigrees, which is a small percentage, and then you get a bunch of tattooers that are just kind of like cowboying it up.
I mean, because what's actually stopping me going to get myself a tattoo gun and posting on, you know, setting up a Facebook page and say, I'm a tattoo artist now. Come and get a tattoo. And off I go. Nothing at all.
Sarah Jane, check it out. Seriously, nothing.
Wow.
At all. You can go get a tattoo machine probably off of like Take a Lot or some other like main, you know, big time sort of like website. And yeah, there's nothing at all stopping you. Like, you know, the correct way to get into the tattoo world is by doing an apprenticeship. You know, they last like 3 years. It's a long time. Someone masters you and basically trains you up and teaches you everything you need to know about becoming a tattooer. And that way, you know, it's like, it's a craft, you know? So there's really this one-on-one sort of attention. There's no schools or anything that you go to. You really get like your master teaches you properly how to do it. But the derogatory term for people that don't do that is called scratchers.
Okay,
so
got
scratchers
it.
Scratchers are like people that just kind of like buy stuff over the internet or whatever and just go ahead and tattoo from their houses or whatever. And it's been a huge rise of that recently in the tattoo world. And people they just call themselves private studios now. I mean, there are legitimate private studios, but there's a lot of people that are just saying that they're a private studio without you know, without actually being a studio, and there's no one there to check them to make sure that they're doing the correct thing with cleanliness, or that they're disposing of their biohazardous waste the right way, or even that they're tattooing the right way. So there's a lot of nightmare tattoos coming into the studio, people looking for cover-ups because,
See an awful lot of that. So much that you're bringing up for us, Byron, that I want to talk to a little bit more. If you're just joining us now, we're joined by Byron Barker, who is the co-owner of Body Architects Tattoo Studio in Harfield Village, just to give us a bit of a picture of the industry. if there are no laws governing this, then that then makes me think what redress does somebody have if they go to one of these scratchers, I love that term, and they are not A, not happy, perhaps, B, injured. What does one do? And I suppose that's where we can bring in the indemnity forms that you have, right? Tell us what are you indemnifying yourself against?
So, yeah, we have indemnity forms. Any good studio that you go to will have indemnity forms. The indemnity forms are a way of protecting the tattoo studio. So, I mean, tattooing takes a lot of trust. So when people email us about coming into our studio, they've already looked through the Instagram. They've chosen who they want to get tattooed by. They've checked their workout. They have a good idea of what this person is capable of and what their style is. And then they email in and saying, I want to book with this person. But the indemnity form, basically, it's kind of like if you go for surgery, you know, you sign an indemnity form and it like omits the studio and the artist from any responsibility. So you have to really trust your artist and you have to go to a good studio, because once you sign that form, it's pretty like locked in. I don't know how it works in South Africa with the legal system, and let's not get into that.
Yeah.
I know in the States there was a quick story. There was a tattooer who was dating this girl, and he found out that she was cheating on him.
Oh no!
And he gave her a couple tequilas.
Took her
to the studio and tattooed a giant poo on her back, like literally a poop. She was horrified and sued him, but the indemnity form held up in court, and he was not, he was not liable. Now, I'm not trying to scare people off and saying, like, oh my gosh, these indemnity forms mean tattooers can do whatever they want on you. You know, any good tattooer takes pride in his craft.
Absolutely.
And really wants to give you the best tattoo.
Sure.
That being said, you know, we do cover our butts with that, with the indemnity form.
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back, if I can, to talk a little bit more about apprenticeships and training, because I wonder that we might not necessarily, I don't know, what that specifically would look like. I mean, presumably, if I turn up to you and say, Byron, I'm really interested in becoming a tattoo artist, and you say, okay, I'll take you under my wing, SJ, what would the next 3 years of my life look like? And also, how long before I'm actually putting needle to skin?
Okay, so I've never apprenticed anyone.
Okay.
Personally, but I have been in shops where people have been apprenticed kind of from beginning to end. And the people that were apprenticed are now very good, high caliber tattooers and very good shops.
Yeah.
And basically it was like, they come in, they clean the shop. They learn like how the front desk works, how to book appointments, how to deal with clients on that level. They clean, they break up the stations, they set up the stations, and they taught the correct way of doing that, because that's something they're going to obviously be doing a bunch on their own. And then they start doing some drawings, you know, and their master sits there and does drawings with them. And there's a lot of different styles in tattooing, and they have specific things and ways that you do it, and that gets taught to you. And eventually you end up like tattooing really bad tattoos on your mates or your brother, in my case.
Yep.
yeah, it's horrible. You see those in later, years later and you're like, oh man, come on in. I'm going to cover that up, bro. It's a bit painful. But yeah, you know, you start doing that. And then eventually, you know, when your master sees that your tattoos don't suck that much, they let you start to, you know, doing apprentice tattoos. And apprentice tattoos are tattoos that are done super cheap and they're very simple. And, you know, there are things that you and your master both think that you can pull off, you know, so they're not giving you complex things that are over your head. They're giving you simple stuff. And then you do an apprentice rate tattoo. So people can come in. They have, you know, they know they're being tattooed by apprentice.
Got it.
You know, they're very aware of that. And they decide, hey, I'm going to give this guy a chance or whatever. And they come in and they'll get tattooed by him. But that's pretty much how you would start tattooing. And then you understand the industry from the ground up. You know what it's like to work the front desk, you know what it's like to clean everything, you know what the drawing entails, you know, and obviously lastly what the tattooing entails.
What is your policy regarding face tattoos, Byron?
Yo, face tattoos. Oh man, okay, I'm gonna quote a famous tattooer. There's a dude called Oliver Peck, and he said there's two types of people that have face tattoos. Like, you get good-looking people that get face tattoos and become ugly, and you get ugly people that get face tattoos and become really ugly. No, I'm sure I just pissed off a bunch of my mates that have face tattoos. And to all of them, I'm just kidding. I love you lots. I'm sorry. I don't have any face tattoos. I got nothing against them. I just don't have any for me. It's just like a personal choice. Maybe one day I will.
Right. But the thing is, though, for you, Byron, like, if you as a tattoo artist were to get a face tattoo, who cares? That's what you do. I'd expect you. In fact, I think less of you for not having one as a tattoo artist, Byron. If I'm honest, you need to get one.
Yeah.
But we can't all... Or again, if you're Travis Barker, wonderful, get a face tattoo. But if at some point you perhaps want to be standing up, as a magistrate in the court, and maybe it shouldn't be this way, but for now it is, it's probably not a great idea to have a face tattoo. But in terms of your... Do you have a policy around, if I was to walk into your shop today and I don't have a single tattoo and I say, right, Byron, hit me up. What I want is a picture of my esteemed colleague, my technical producer, Obi, and I want a big a big thing there of his face on mine so that we're always together. What would you, what's your moral position, what's your ethical standpoint on that? Do you go paying customer over the age of 18, fire up the needle?
No, I wouldn't do that. Look, there's sort of two camps of ideas on this. Like, I personally don't want to tattoo what we call job stoppers on anyone, like, that isn't heavily tattooed. If you come in and you want to get, like...
Did you say a job stopper?
Neck or face. Yeah, that's like the nickname for them.
I love it.
Hand tattoos, neck tattoos, or face tattoos. And it's been called that for forever. If someone comes in and they don't have like any tattoos and they just want to get like a job stopper, it's a very serious talk that happens. And generally, the person's probably not going to get tattooed, especially if it's on the face. It's like, nah, man. So I wouldn't tattoo your face. That being said, the other side of the argument is people are adults, and if an adult understands exactly what the parameters are of anything and they really get it, then they should be allowed to do whatever. Like, if you want to ride a motorcycle with no helmet, you understand gravity, you understand like velocity, and if you go for it, you go for it. But the rules of physics still apply.
Yeah,
it's the same thing with this, but I think you got to sort of protect stupid people from themselves on this thing. And especially if a person's really young, then it's super duper rough, because young people are stupid. They're not smart,
Some of the decisions that I made at 17 years old, I don't want to be, and luckily I'm not still paying the cost for them. But also, by a couple of years later, and I have to say, if you are wondering what the sort of situation is now with this 17-year-old girl, who is sort of the reason we're having this conversation, there is now a sense of je regret. And I believe also that the tattoo parlour in question has offered to cover it up. And in fact, Katie has messaged in, says, SJ, please ask Byron the process involved in removing tattoos. That is a very good question, Katie.
Ah, okay. So I've had some tattoos removed.
Right.
And the process for getting tattoo removal is quite an intense one.
Ooh.
So essentially what happens is your body is trying to get rid of the ink molecules. Now, the ink molecules are totally fine to be in your body. It doesn't affect you in any way. It's not bad for you. It's not toxic, blah, blah, blah. But the molecules, no, your body doesn't want a foreign substance in it at all. The molecules are too big for your body to carry away. The ink molecules are. So it sits in the dermis. And what ends up happening with the laser basically goes in and it targets pigmentation. So it's essentially like the ink. And it explodes the ink into smaller pieces that your body can then naturally flush out. But it's not like an easy process where you just go and get laser once and it's done. It's something that requires multiple sessions. The results are going to vary depending on how well the tattoo was applied by the artist, how old it is, that sort of stuff. So it's painful, super painful. It's way more painful than putting the tattoo on.
Wow.
You have to be honest, and there is possibly a risk of scarring depending on how the skin is and depending how your laser technician is. And you might never get it fully off.
Eish.
Like my tattoos that I've like lasered, was just to get them a little bit lighter so that I could put a cover up over them. So I have more options.
Sure. Outside of the age thing, Byron, are there circumstances in which you just will not tattoo somebody? Like, for example, if they're drunk or high?
Yeah, totally. There's a bunch. And I say no to tattoos fairly often.
Do you?
Yeah, you know what? Like, for me personally, I'd rather not get paid and not have it on my conscience than...
Yeah. And I suppose also reputation, because the fact of the matter is now, there is a tattoo artist who I'm choosing not to name, a tattoo parlour, who is now going to be known as that dude who tattooed the thing on the kid's face. And presumably you don't want to be known as that person.
Well, the thing is, like, all you really have is your portfolio and your reputation as a tattooer.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're as good kind of as, like, your last couple tattoos. And if you're screwing those up, then, man, you're in serious trouble. Like, your reputation is really, really key. And yeah, that is something you have to, you know, like...
Okay, so what are the circumstances where you say no?
There's a bunch. I don't do anything that's racist. I don't do anything that's sexist. I don't do anything that just makes me feel real weird.
You're like, the Renaissance tattooist. That's who you are. You're the tattooist for the modern age.
You know what, like I said, you got to protect people from their own stupidity. Like,
got it, yeah.
And if someone goes and gets that tattoo somewhere else, which has happened before, you know, like, I talked to this girl and told her, like, don't get a line of cocaine tattooed on your arm because it's a terrible idea. And we had a long chat, and, like, she's, like, basically said, okay, I fully understand you. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I was really happy. I was like, cool, like, I don't want to get paid.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather not get paid and talk you out of this terrible decision.
Sure.
She was really young, you know. And then, like, an hour and a half later, I saw her walking down the street and she had her arm wrapped up. And I was like, damn, this girl is not smart. But, at least it wasn't on me. I'm like, my conscience is clean on that. Like,
yeah,
so I think, like, protecting people from their own self is probably, like, a good way to go.
Byron, before we let you go, there's going to be people listening in who perhaps are considering getting a tattoo. Look, I'm not ruling it out. I'd quite, you know, at some point, maybe I will get one. What's your advice? What do we do? How do we pick a tattoo artist? What do we need to go in knowing?
Okay, so I would definitely say, like, portfolio is key. Looking at an artist's portfolio is going to give you a good indication of what they're capable of. When we put something out on our Instagram or whatever, because all the portfolios are digital these days, we're basically saying, like, hey, this is what I can do. Like, check out my skill level, look at my work, look at the technical ability, look at the style. This is who I am artistically, you know, and this is what I'm capable of. So when someone's going to come get tattooed, they're expecting that level of excellence from you, and you need to deliver it consistently. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Like, you need to knock it out every time. So if you want to get tattooed, I would say check out the studios, pick your artist according to what you kind of want to get tattooed, and does that style match up with what they're doing?
Mm.
If so, you call. Generally, like, the way we do it is you can call or email in. You do a consultation with us. It's free. We sit down, chat face-to-face. I sort of suss you out, see what you're into, ask you a bunch of questions, and then I'm going to draw up a design that's custom just for you. And then you're okay, and I tattoo it on you, and then I never do that design again. Like, that design is only for you. So maybe it's like, you know, a butterfly and a, just take something easy, like a butterfly and a dagger, right? I might draw a bunch of those, but they're never going to be the exact same. They're always going to be a little different. And it gives the client, like, something, you know, that's a little bit unique and custom. And even if it's done in a style that is, like, maybe, you know, a classic kind of style, it'll still be like a once-off tattoo. So I would say definitely check it out. Have a chat with your artist. Check out the studio. Make sure it's clean. Make sure, like, it looks nice. Mm-hmm. And I would also say don't shop around based on price.
This is the
sort of thing where, you know what, if you're going to save a couple $100 or even a couple $1,000, like, do you really want to save on this? Would you save on your doctor?
Sure.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, and then this is going to be on you forever. So be careful. Be smart. Think about it, and choose someone. Choose wisely.
Yeah,
it's a big choice.
Yeah, it really is. This has been such a great conversation, Byron. Really appreciate your time this morning. Byron Barker is the co-owner of, no relation to Travis, I'm assuming.
Imagine. I wish. I used
imagine
to lie
if you
and
were.
Say so. Seriously, I did. I was like, oh, he's my uncle. He's so mean, man. He never sends me birthday gifts or anything.
That's
like,
amazing.
Really?
That's so funny. That's fantastic.
If I said he was cool, they'd know I was lying, right? So I'm like, I'd go with that he's a bit of a douche.
Byron Barker is the co-owner of Body Architects Tattoo Studio in Harfield Village, talking to us this morning about the ethical and legal ins and outs of tattoos here in South Africa. It's a topic that Zane, who was in for Pippa, spoke about. He spoke to Natasha, who was the aunt of this teenager who got the tattoo. Was also joined. This was for Consumer Talk with Wendy on Wednesday or Thursday. Was also joined by consumer attorney Trudy Bruckmann to talk about the legalities And as Byron told us, there's no laws around tattooing, but there is this. Let's take a listen.
Just clarify for us the legal position. It's very different from that of the UK, where it's expressly outlawed. A few people have said to me that it have pointed me to the Children's Act 38 of 2005, but I can't find anything in there that even vaguely would outlaw the tattooing of a person under 18.
Yes, I agree with your interpretation, Wendy. I've also taken a careful, with a colleague, went through line by line through the Children's Act just to see whether there's anything along those lines. Obviously, maltreatment of children in broad strokes is outlawed by the Act, but the Act isn't specific that applying a tattoo is such maltreatment or abuse of a child. I think that we find better guidance actually in the Constitution of South Africa. So the Constitution guarantees freedom of expression, but it also says that children's rights are to be protected and to be regarded as being paramount, and that a child in particular has a right to human dignity and privacy. And then we have a common law right to bodily integrity. And that means that your body isn't allowed to be pierced or changed in any way. So we speak about body modification. I think there are all kinds of different ways of doing that that are either new or old. And those on a basic level are infringements on the right to bodily integrity. You are allowed to do body modification if you have consented to that, but an under 18 under South African law cannot consent. So that is the issue. There was a lack of valid consent in respect of this tattoo. So, or the two tattoos actually in this case. Our Constitutional Court hasn't really dealt with this directly. What we have got is the Constitutional Court case in the matter of Navanitha Pillay, her daughter Sunali.
I remember this.
Hindu people, she wore a nose stud to school, and the issue was, is that okay or not? But the situation in that case is very different because Mrs. Pillay very much supported the nose stud. She had consented to her daughter getting the nose stud. The daughter wanted the nose stud for as an expression of her religious and cultural
beliefs. I remember it was a Durban private school. Different. I remember the case well.
That's right.
Yes.
So, and also a piercing is less of a permanent infringement to your bodily integrity because you can just take the little nose stud out and the space would just close up. Yes. Tattoo is much more of a permanent thing. It involves removal, involves the destruction of an outer layer of that portion of your skin.
Of your skin.